Razor Mr. T here with you, Ralph Barbieri and Tom Tolbert. We have the good fortune of having Justin Smith stop in and talk to us. In fact, we talked to Justin. I'm sure he doesn't remember because he talked to so many people when he first joined the 49ers. And the one thing that we said when we got off the phone was, this guy's just a football player. And you can use all kinds of adjectives, but he's the heart and soul of the team. He loves the game. And your approach to the game is something that I think other guys should try to mimic, really.
So I don't have to check the transcript, see what you really said? I'm going to take you for your word. Okay.
No, that's one thing. I'm ridiculously honest. That's what gets me in so much trouble.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've been out here for, 22 days now. And so far it seems like we're shaping up pretty good. And got the Oakland game. That's always big. And then just keep progressing and see where we go from there. It's kind of exciting times.
Where did the intensity or the work ethic come from? Because when that's one thing Ralph and I marvel at, when we watch you play, it's never taking a play off. It's always keeping the motor going. It's playing until the whistle. Has that always been a part of who you are?
Yeah, I mean, but just watching tape, I'd say you could say that about a lot of guys playing to the whistle. I mean, you watch a game, you see a lot of that. I think sometimes, you know, you kind of get grouped in different categories and there of how you're going to label a guy. But, you know, I think a lot of guys on the D-line, especially I play with here, could be labeled that, play a snap to whistle. And
but I'll give you an example. There may be a rollout right, then you're playing on the opposite defensive end. I've seen where a lot of guys see the quarterback rolling out, and they'll look and say, okay, I'll give it the token effort, maybe kind of run and cut off a lane if I can, but I'm probably not going to get to the quarterback. Whereas I see you, it's full out 100% pursuing the quarterback until the play is over. I'm not saying a lot of guys are dogging it. I'm just saying when I watch you play, it seems like you're a guy that until the play is over, then I'm going to give it everything I have on that play and then start again on the next play.
Maybe I'm just naive and think I'm going to get them.
You don't realize how good you are.
I'm just hoping he'll cut back into me and I'll get that. I know how hard it is to get a sack, so I'm never going to give up on one because
8.5 sacks last year, pretty good. Huh?
They're hard to come by. And,
you know what? Reason he doesn't have any trouble keeping the motor on, everybody knows the offensive linemen are the intelligent guys. The defensive guys just got to run to the ball.
Just got to run to the ball.
You get tired of hearing that crap because there are a lot of people. I don't know if they believe that, but you do hear that a lot.
About the O lineman versus the D lineman?
Yeah.
You know, playing on D line about my whole life, you know, you could probably see how that stereotype got started in some of the rooms I've been in. But, you know, there's definitely on both sides of the ball, there's some really smart guys. And I think one of the best part about playing here is get along with the, you know, we're a 3-4, so there's only three of us in that room that play together on any given down. But we all get it. We all work together. And I think that's how we've been able to have this, some of the little success on stopping the run and getting after the pass that we've had, that we all really know each other, work well together.
How's it been different this year?
Well, I mean, they moved Isaac to nose. That's a little bit of a change from Abreu. So, you know, I played with Ice when he was a left end the whole time. But now you're more interaction with him because you're actually playing off of each other at the nose. And so far, so good. He's done.
Is he happy about that?
Yeah, he likes it. You know, he has no problem with it. I think he's kind of built to play a position anyway. You know, just a cinder block of a dude down here.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we should be right where we're at and continue to get better.
Do you have to be somewhat of an unselfish player to be a defensive lineman in a 3-4? It seems like a lot of it is built for the linebackers to run free and do their plays. And if you're going to do it right, then you got to give up sometimes. You got to be double teamed, and maybe you're not going to be the guy that makes the play, but you'll be the guy helping the guy make the play.
I think the biggest difference in a 3-4 is knowing when you can take your shot to make that play. I mean, a lot of them, you are going to get doubled. You are holding up the blocks, trying to keep the linebackers free. And you got your chances in there. And, and when you know when that opportunity is, if you take advantage of, you know, Jim Tomsula does a great job with us. You know, I almost call it when to cheat on a defense. And, you know, he's definitely been the main reason as a unit we've had as much success as we've had, stopping the run, things like that. I mean, he's just
a pretty funny guy, too, isn't he?
I mean, he's funny, good guy. He gets it. He knows how to relate to the guys. And, I mean, he's the best position coach that I've ever been around. So
you still have your consecutive starting game streak going?
I believe so.
155?
Yeah. I'm not sure where it is.
It was 139 before last year, and last time I had it. That's just...
Don't jinx it.
People don't realize. I'm not I didn't say anything about jinx, jerk off. Let me talk to Justin, and you can ask your question when I'm done. Try to turn it into a jinx. I'm giving him a compliment, for Christ's sake. See what I have to deal with? No, but that's very cool. I mean, in any league, but in the NFL, 155 consecutive starts, you got to... Be conscious of that, at least.
I mean, you know, you just get ready for every game, I guess. You know, I've been fortunate enough not to have something that would keep you out of the lineup. And, you know, the doctors help with you, too. But, you know, so far, so good.
Reverend Mr. T, talking to Justin Smith down here at 49ers headquarters. Go back to last year. How cool was it to see Tom Sula get a chance just to be the head coach for the game?
Oh, I mean, everybody that's in that room with him, you know, we were all excited for him. And we rallied around that guy, and he helps keep us together and keep us going. And, you know, I think with the group that we have in that room, it's not really a lot of high drafted guys. You know what I mean? And every guy's gotten better, like a guy like Ray McDonald. He didn't get any sacks last year, but I think, what, the second or third most pressures in the league. And, you know, signed him back, which I was pumped about. Yeah. And I think he's going to be one of the best 3-4 D linemen in the league for the next couple of years. So, and I think it's just with Jim working with all of us. I mean, I never played the position before I got here, and they ended up switching me down the line and just kind of helped me figure it out. And anytime a guy that can help you have success, you're always going to remember that guy and feel like you need to acknowledge that. And he's definitely one of those coaches.
Sacks are obviously a sexy stat, and I don't want to say sacks are overrated. I mean, you said how hard they are to get, but are pressures maybe more impactful in that you could have a guy that gets a sack or two, or maybe he has 12 sacks for the course of a year but doesn't get a lot of pressures. He just manages to get through, and maybe it's tough to do that. But isn't it more impactful if a guy that's always around the quarterback, collapsing the pocket, making him get rid of the ball before he wants to?
Yeah, well, I think in a 3-4, from what I've grown to understand it, is that's the main job.
Yeah.
You know, you force the guys, the outside backers, you don't allow that quarterback to step up and throw off his front foot and make a complete pass. You know, as long as you're putting those offensive linemen in his face, not allowing that quarterback to just stare down the middle of the field and complete passes, you're going to have success and you're doing your job. And I think with the nickel package that we have, now we're sprinkling in a guy like Alden that we hope can really flash and do some things, and he's shown some potential in camp. I think our pass rush should improve even more.
Justin, but I mean, talking to Justin Smith here at the KMBR, how tough is it to stop when you're about to hit the quarterback? Because I see that so many times. How do they expect the guy to stop? You don't want to touch his head. If you touch his head, you're done.
Well, that's different. They changed that rule. Now you can actually glance his head.
Oh, really?
And they won't call a flag.
That's one of the rule changes?
That's one of the rule changes. So I think they got that one right. You know, before, if you just nicked his head.
Yeah, touch his ear.
15 yards. You know, if they throw their hands up in the air, they do a little acting, it's a first down. So I
But you're this close to being on top of the guy, and then you got to stop 6 inches away from him, or you can't take another step. Or what are you going to get penalized for, and what aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, not only it gives him a first down, a new set of downs. I think, you know, sometimes it's almost like the kicker rule. When you get close to the punter and they do the old throw their arms up and try to get a first down, it's almost getting to where the quarterbacks do that now. And I think they're trying to reel that back in. I think it got a little bit
– Really?
A little bit too far over, you know, regarding the safety issue. I mean, you got a helmet on, you know, so.
Jack Lambert saying next time they'll put him in skirts.
So I think they're getting that right. I think you'll be able to get some really good shots on the quarterback still.
Well, it really seems like what they've done now, because when Brady hurt his knee, you remember now he can't hit a quarterback low. It's almost like they need to paint an X on the quarterback's jersey and say, okay, this is where you can hit him. Don't go
sternum.
Don't go higher than this. Don't go lower than this.
Yeah, the strike zone has been shrunk a whole lot. It used to be anything from toes. You just had to stay off the face.
Yeah.
But, you know, now it's, you know, a little bit mid-thigh to, you know, shoulders. So when a guy's moving, and the biggest problem is when you're coming in, you're flying in, you just beat a block, or you're pushing a blocker into the quarterback, and they're going to duck and bob. Yeah. I mean, so the target's changing and moving the whole time. So I guess it's just one of those gray areas that
every time
I get hit on the quarterback, I look right at the ref.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, what do you do if you – I mean, let's say you go with, like, an inside swim move. You get the tackle or the guard or whoever off balance. You're going toward the quarterback. He pushes you. As you're getting ready to tackle him, you know, you stumble and you're falling down. and the only thing you have to grab at is his knees or his ankle.
I guess that's up to the refs. I mean, I like I said, I think they're cleaning that up a little bit with the now you can actually graze them in the helmet. As long as it's not like a punch or a, you know, you're chopping down on their head, they're not going to call it. So I think they're slowly getting it back to where it needs to be, you know, still protect the quarterback. You know, the teams want to see those guys protected just as much as anybody. So I think they're going to get it right, and I think they'll be fair game again.
I don't know how much you get to talk to Harbaugh, but this is a different kind of dude. I mean, he's intense doesn't describe him. You have to go somewhere beyond that. I don't know how much contact you have with him on a daily basis, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, not a whole lot, but just from his team meetings and just, you know, talking to him here and there. I mean, it's not an act. That's the one thing about him.
That's
the
scary part.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you're on these teams or whatever, and you see a coach and how they're portrayed in the media or whatever,
and then
the cameras come off, totally different guy. But you know, I can tell you, this guy that's him, and he's amped up all the time. He wants to keep everything in house. He likes playing his cards close to the vest, and he's a football guy. And, you know, he played what 14, 15 years, went straight into coaching. Yeah. You know, this is his life, and this is what he loves. So he definitely comes across that way. I mean, this is what he lives for.
Hey, as a defensive lineman, what percentage of the time can you tell by weight distribution, stance, formation, whether it's going to be a run or a pass?
I'd say 85%.
Really?
You know, and, you know, sometimes you'll guess a little wrong, but there's always a little guessing involved. I mean, the way the formations are set up and things like that. I mean, they build them off motions, but you know, if you pay a little bit of attention, you can kind of get a pretty good beat on it.
Do these still? I know the old thing was. I don't even know if it works anymore with the fingers. If the blood was in the fingers or not in the fingers, that
too many guys wear gloves.
Dude, yeah. That's right.
Too many guys wear gloves. So would you? That's the old long. Was that a Papelli movie?
Yeah, I think
changed up the play. I think that's more movies than real life. But
damn it, it sounded good.
You were on something for a second.
Hey, Justin, I really appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for waiting to come on.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, okay, guys. Thanks for having me.